I'd like you to look over in Acts chapter 1, and we'll start with verse 1. Acts chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4. We're going to read a few verses, but let's start with Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Today, right after preaching, whatever, we're going to end up baptizing our new brother named Steve. And Steve came this week. Not that Steve. He got baptized, I think, back in 93, right? But this Steve, and he's got some family and friends here today, and we just want to talk about this and why we do this, because we get this out of the Bible, okay? So, Lord Jesus, we just commit this time in your hands. May you be seen. May you be lifted up. Because I know you'll draw all people unto yourself. There's nobody like you, Jesus. Thank you for chasing me till you caught me. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treaties or writing have I made. Now this man's name, Theophilus, is like we would call him Theo, okay? It means lover of God. That's what Theophilus means, a man that loved God. So he's writing to him, and he says, this writing have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion or after his death by many infallible proofs or many indisputable proofs. Like one of them was he was seen of them for 40 days. After he died and rose from the dead, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, we're going to go to verse 7. He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which a Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Notice the word. The brother got up and said, I have a testimony. He was a witness. He was a witness of what God is doing in his life and other people's lives. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, Jesus, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, Father God took him up. He was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two angels stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up, thank you, into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet or Mount Olive, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode or where lived both. And now they're going to list all 11 apostles. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the other James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, not Judas Iscariot, the betrayer. These all continued with one accord or in unity in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So we see Jesus talking to his disciples, and then his Father took him slowly straight up in the air into heaven. Now picture, here's Jesus. He's living on earth. First 30 years, he's in obscurity, becomes a preacher, goes around healing people, loving people, preaching everywhere, raising the dead. And then at the age 33, he said, basically what he said was, Father, treat me as if I'm Harvey. Give me everything Harvey deserves. And the Father said, but son, Jesus, that would kill you. The only payment for Harvey's sin is death, eternal separation from me. He said, I know, Dad, but I don't want Harvey to die. So give me what Harvey deserves. So he took all my sin and it killed him. And they buried him. He buried my sin. And during that time, the Bible says, teaches us, he went to hell. He preached to the people that were there. And on the third day, he stood before the Father and said, Father, while his body's in the grave, he says, Father, is my death enough for Harvey? Or is there something else Harvey has to do? And the Father reached over, picked up his body from the grave and said, paid in full. And said, I want to offer you a pardon, mercy, forgiveness, eternal life. It's a gift, but it only comes through the blood of Jesus. So we see Jesus talking to us. So Jesus raised from the dead. During the next 50 days, Jesus, actually for the next 40 days, Jesus is showing himself, showing up at times, and you can read that in the Gospels, where he's showing up, and because here's this person they were following for 3.5 years. They believed in him, but now he got killed. After he got killed, they're like all like bewildered and what's going on, and they're all like, oh, woe is me, you know, everything's bad, oh, I ought to go back to bowling or something. And then Jesus raises from the dead, and he begins to appear to them and shows up, and he says, here, touch me. See that, here, put your finger in my nail print and thrust your hand in my side where they shoved the spear, and here, give me something to eat. And he shows them that he's a living person, that he rose from the dead. And he does this for 40 days. As a matter of fact, the Bible, I believe it's in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, if I remember correctly, it says that he showed himself to 500 people at one time. Okay? So during those 40 days, right before he quit showing himself, we see Jesus talking to his disciples, and then his Father took him. While he's talking to his disciples, he just starts doing this thing, and it wasn't Hollywood. It was real. That's where Hollywood got it, you know? He just starts rising up, and he just slowly goes up, and the disciples are standing there watching him go up into heaven, and he goes up into a cloud. And as his disciples watched him ascend into heaven, two angels appeared and told them not to be amazed or stunned by this, because this same Jesus will return to earth one day, the same way that you are now seeing him leave, in the air where everybody can see him. And that's taught in the Bible. Then the 11 apostles and close followers of Jesus, about 120 folks, gathered together in an upper room to pray and wait at the instructions of Jesus. Now look at chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost means 50, and it was 50 days after the resurrection of Christ. Okay? So, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that means they'd been waiting for 10 days without seeing him. You know, for 40 days they saw him. Then there was a 10 days where they didn't see him. And on the 50th day was fully come, they were all with one accord in unity in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. It was like they could see fire sitting on each person. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, which is simply the Spirit of God, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, because these guys, here they are, 120 of them, and they're all just like praising God, but they're doing it in different languages than what they normally knew. Like we know English, well, they were doing it in Vietnamese and Spanish and Chinese and whatever. Ugandese. When I was over in Uganda, you know, for the most part, they spoke English or Kenya. But I remember like when I was in Kenya and God wanted me to witness to this man, and I grabbed somebody from Uganda and said, I'm going to say this in English and you interrupt me and say it in his language so you can understand what I'm saying. You know, y'all call it interpreting, I call it interrupting, because if I'm talking, I don't want you interrupting. But I needed him to interrupt so he could understand. So there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, and when they heard this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. Now we're talking about thousands of people, and they were confounded or confused because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Every man heard them speak in their own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, all are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? As they were all joined in unity praying, God sent His Holy Spirit to fill them with His power and presence. They were so overwhelmed they could not keep Him in as His glory filled them. And they began to speak of Jesus and praise Him out loud. Now there were men from every nation in Jerusalem at that time because it was a religious holy time called the Passover. These were devout men, men who were seeking to worship the true God of Israel. And they heard the followers worshiping Jesus out loud, but they spoke a different language than them. The amazing thing was that when they heard them speak, they could understand their own language, the praises and message of God. Look at verse 11. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Now this was God's plan of how to spread the gospel. We just sang a song about the gospel. Do you know what the gospel is? If you want to know, write down in your notes if you want to look it up. The Bible defines a lot of words. The word gospel is defined in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. That's the good news of God. Everybody that comes to God has to come through the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. That's the good news. Now, this was God's plan of how to spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and to reach the world with His plan of salvation. And Almighty God was going to do this through people. As they were filled with God, they could not hold it in. Glenn, too, if you came in this morning and said, I have a testimony, if we'd have said, no, you can't say it today, you think you'd have been able to hold it in? Janiah, you see what I'm saying? It's like you can't hold it in, okay? As they were filled with God, they could not hold it in, but they had to tell others about what God was doing in them and the things that they knew of God so far. They wanted to tell everyone about Jesus Christ, their Savior, their precious Lord, their new best friend, the God of the whole earth. I want to stop here for a second and talk about Steve. When I met Steve, I had hired his brother Doug. The guy who's getting baptized today works for me and has worked for me for about a year and a half, something like that. When I hired his brother, and his brother worked okay. and he said, if you need another worker, he said, my brother just moved back from West Virginia or somewhere. And he said, I said, well, have him, you know, send me a resume and we'll talk. And when we talk, I pray. And what happens when I interview people, Doug or Steve? When I interview people about, like, let's say we interview for 2 or 3 hours. Like about 15 or 20 minutes we talk about tub glaze. What do we talk about the rest of the time? Jesus. Okay. And, okay, that's just how it is. I can't help it. I'm full of Jesus. I gotta talk about Jesus. So, Steve had told me, I hope it's okay if I share this, okay? Steve had told me, he said, well, all my life I've believed in God. He said, as I've done, even when every time I would do bad things, I would go into my bedroom and I would pray. But what the Holy Spirit was telling me while he was telling me, he said, he's not born again because he has no victory. And there's victory in Jesus, okay? And the thousands and tens of thousands of people that I've helped introduce to Jesus of every kind of walk of life, whether they were hitmen or drug dealers or presidents of corporation, their lives changed and they started having victory in their lives and peace and joy like they had never had before and would always give testimony to that. Well, Steve was saying to me, I always have prayed, I've always believed in God, but see, it makes a difference of what you believe about God, okay? You can't make up your own God. You can't believe smorgasbord God. If you're going to come to the Bible God, you have to believe what the Bible says. And so I remember I said to Jesus, I said to Steve, so I prayed and said, Lord, do you want me to talk to him? And he goes, Harvey, you're a little bit aggressive. So what you need to do is just pray. And when I want you to talk to him, you'll ask him questions here or there. And that's what I started doing. And one of the first questions I asked Steve was, I said, who is Jesus Christ to you? I said, do you know that he is God in the flesh? I've never heard that before. He says, I've never heard God in the flesh. No, I don't know what that means. And so I say, he's God in a body. I said, it's in my notes, so I won't go there. But I shared that with Steve. And Steve said, really? Is that true? And I go, well, here's what the Bible says. And I gave him a bunch of verses and said, you go read. I didn't make this up. See, when I met Jesus, I was 20 years, 9 days old. Some of y'all may have heard this before. Okay? Like, at least. Okay? Enough to have memorized it. And by the time I was 19, 6 different denominations had baptized me. Not just 6 different churches, but 6 different denominations. And I knew about God, but I didn't know God. But a lot of things I knew about God weren't even necessarily true. They were just things that I was taught by that church wherever I went, and they said things. So when I met Jesus, I met him by reading the Bible. I was smoking a joint, reading the Bible. God showed up. I put the joint out, pushed my beer away, and I just read that Bible for like 4 hours. Matter of fact, I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, 89 chapters in one night. And as I read it, it captured me. And I was like amazed at watching him interact with people, every kind of person. And it was like, man, I wish I could get, I kept saying out loud, how do I get to you, Jesus? You know? And then I saw Jesus on the cross. And I read the words, Father, you know, the people were spitting on Jesus. The people were mocking him. They were shaking their heads. What they did to the master, they're going to do to the servants. Okay? And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And when I read that, inside of me, I had this thought, Father, forgive Harvey, for he doesn't know what he's doing. And it broke my heart, and I'm bawling like a baby. And I couldn't quit reading that Bible. And I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, went to bed, woke up in the morning, God's all over me. And it's like, I gotta find this Jesus. And that night at 7:55, I met Jesus. And when I went to Bible college, I used to get in trouble all the time because they would say things as they were teaching, and I would say, excuse me, you just said such and such, but over here the Bible says this, and over here the Bible says this, and over here the Bible says, how does that fit with what you're saying? And they would go, and I'm like, I kept saying, God, I want to follow you, not man. I want to know what you have to say. So he's had us read this Bible quite a bit. And what I believe comes from this Bible. Not because I went 9 years to Bible college. Not because, you know, I was ordained Baptist. Not because of all that stuff. But because what does the Bible have to say? So if you've ever been around me for any amount of time, you know that if we start talking and you ask me a question, I'm going to give you about, you know, 5 to 50 verses on whatever you're asking. Because I want you to get it from the Bible. I want you to follow Jesus in the Bible. Jesus is the Word of God. And so the Bible is Jesus in print. You want to spend time with Jesus, spend time in the Bible. And let Him talk to you and listen to Him. Anyway, that wasn't in my notes. It was just free. Just thought I'd let you know. Okay, so where were we? So they wanted to tell everyone about Jesus Christ, their Savior, their precious Lord, their new best friend, the God of the whole earth. Look at verse 22. And Peter begins to preach. Remember, the Holy Spirit just came upon him. And now they're like praising God. A crowd of thousands of people gather. And God moves on Peter to start preaching. And he says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth. Now remember, 50 days ago, they just crucified him. These are the people that crucified him. He says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him or through him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him, Jesus Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. In other words, it was the plan of God for Jesus to die. He was born to die. It says, him, Jesus, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain him or killed him, whom, Jesus, God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that Jesus should be held thereby. So they began to preach Jesus the Christ. Yes, he is 100% God. God in a body. God in the flesh. But he is also 100% man. So that he could become our substitute and die in our place to pay for all of our sin. Jesus could do this because he never sinned. Not once. So he didn't have any sin of his own to pay for. He made us in his very image. But we messed up what he created us for. Have we not messed up what he created us for? Are any of us, as we get older, still innocent like a little child? No. Okay? We messed up what he created us for. Now listen to this. This is so cool. God showed this to me. Then our Creator said, I made you in my image. Remember? In the image of God created he them. Male and female created them. He said, I made you in my image. He said, but you've messed that up. He said, but now I'm going to make myself in your image. And I'm going to become one of you. You're going to know me as Jesus. I'm going to example how I intended for you to live. I'm going to preach and heal and love. And then I'm going to take your sin debt upon myself and pay fully for every one of your sins. What you have done in the past, what you're doing now in the present, and for all the sins that you ever will do. I'm going to take them all away. And I'm even going to go to hell for you. And I will be raised up from the dead to show that my payment for your life and sin was accepted by God. My death is payment in full for you. I will remove what stands in the way of us having a relationship. He said, right now, you don't have a relationship with me. You might know about me and do a bunch of religious things. He said, but I want us to have a relationship where I am your... He says, you will become my child and I will become your heavenly daddy, father. Look at verse 31. He, King David, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul, Christ's soul, was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. We are his witnesses because we have come to meet Jesus as our Savior. Have you met him as your Savior? And now we know him and have experienced his love and how wonderful he is. Look at verse 36. Now we get to the end here. Now, so he ends the sermon by saying this. Verse 36. Therefore, now he's preaching to thousands of people, and they were all there when Jesus was just crucified less than 2 months ago. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, or know for sure, that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. I got to stop there. When I first got in church, I had met Jesus. And then 6.5 months later, I met my wife. And then 3 months later, I got in church. So it was 10 months from the time I met Jesus till I got in church. Because I met Jesus in Tennessee, went back to Florida where I'm from. Went out to Arizona with a friend of mine to see his girlfriend, and she had a girlfriend who's now my wife, and she was from Michigan. So it took 10 months for me to go around the country. When I first got in church, now I'd already met Jesus. But I remember when I was reading the Bible, my heart just kept being grabbed. And I remember when I first got in church, and the preacher was preaching, and I'm sitting next to Sue, and he's preaching, and the Word of God is touching me. So I'm just telling you in case this happens to you, okay? Because it's happened to a number of you have already given testimony to this, okay? The preacher's preaching, and I kept, who's telling him about me? How does he know all this? He's like exposing me in front of everybody. It wasn't the preacher. It was the Spirit of God working through what the preacher was saying. That's how God works. God deals in our hearts. We have to consider truth. Now, what are we going to do with the truth? So let's look at verse 36 again. Sorry, I stopped the flow. So let's go back to, we have a flow. Right, Kathy? All right. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins or the removal of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. God himself will come to live inside of you. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward or perverse wicked generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them, that church of 120, about 3,000 souls. Now wouldn't that be kind of neat? You're preaching and all of a sudden 3,000 people join. Like, what do we do with them, Lord? Now look at verse 42. And they continued, these 3,000 souls that just joined the church, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' or the disciples' doctrine or teaching and fellowship. And in breaking of bread, they were eating together. And they prayed together. And fear, holy respect of God came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted or gave them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord or unity in the temple, and in breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. As Peter preached, he reminded them that 50 days earlier, they personally had joined in crucifying the Lord Jesus. Nobody will ever meet God until they realize that it's their sin that crucified Jesus. Picture this. What God offers, salvation, he offers to all. It's available to everybody. But it only applies to the individual when they come to him and say, it's me, it's my sin that killed you, Jesus. Will you please forgive me? I'm the one who killed you. Forget everybody else. I'm the one who killed you. Will you please forgive me? The crowd, so he says, Peter preached. He reminded them that 50 days earlier they personally had joined in crucifying the Lord Jesus. They had just literally killed Jesus. The crowd began to call out to the followers of Jesus as they were listening to what he said. What can we do now? Now that we realize what we did. And the disciples answered them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, because through him you could be forgiven, cleansed, and begin life anew. Notice how the scripture then says, this invitation is offered to you and your children and to all that are afar off. Also notice that he says to save yourselves from this wicked and perverse generation. The gospel message is this simple. God, now hear this, don't miss this part. God wants us because He loves us. He created us for His own purpose. He created us for Himself. I don't know if you know this, but you were created on purpose with a purpose. He created us for Himself. He wants to have a relationship with us as father and children. But our sin separates us from God. Repentance is like this. God's ways, in my mind I'm saying, God's ways are perfect, but my ways and thoughts are not right. I'm making a choice. I don't want sin anymore. Repentance is not you trying to quit sinning. Go ahead and try that. January 1st, people do that every year. I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. I'm not going to do this, or I'm going to do that. Go ahead and try. By February 1st, they can't even remember what they promised, let alone are they doing it. It's not us quitting. It's us realizing I can't quit. So watch. Repentance in my mind. God's ways are perfect, but my ways and thoughts are not right. I'm making a choice. I don't want sin anymore. I want Jesus, now that I've heard about Him and understand His love for me. But I can't save myself nor stop all my sin. Listen now, this is where believing comes in. I wrote it down like a prayer. So just, maybe you're going to want to just say this in your heart to God. Jesus, I believe that You are God in the flesh and that You voluntarily took all my sin upon Yourself. My sin hurt You badly and then killed You. You were buried and then You rose victoriously 3 days later. I now understand that You went through all of that for me personally. And right now, I understand that You are offering me forgiveness through Your blood and death, and that You want to give me Your gift of eternal life. I am so sorry for personally causing You all that pain and that horrible death. And I ask You now to please forgive me of all my sins. Thank You, Jesus, for forgiving me. I don't want sin anymore in any way in my life. I only want You, Jesus, living in me. You are the choice for my life. Teach me how to follow You, Jesus. I want Your ways and thoughts. I want to stay close to You. I want You to be the Lord and Master of my life. I want to give You my life completely, just as You gave Your life completely for me. Help me to honor You with my life and to love You. Help me to walk with You, Jesus. And please teach me how, because I want to stay with You. Yes, hang out with You. I'm so glad, Jesus, that You want this even more than I do, and that You have promised to never give up on me. I love You, Jesus. I've never met anyone like You. I want you to look at verse 41. Let's notice verse 41, what followed. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received His word, the preaching, they made a outward demonstration of what they believed. See, some people have told me through the years, I believe in Jesus. I said, have you got baptized? Nope, don't want to do that. Have you gone to church? Nope, don't want to do that. I said, what does believing in Jesus mean to you? I said, the first act of obedience after salvation is baptism, because it shows to everybody, look, without Steve saying a word, we go outside, I'm going to say these words, something like this. Steve, are you trusting in Christ as your Savior? And he's going to say, yes, I am, or yes, or with a smile that he always does. Okay, now watch. And then I'm going to say, Steve, upon your public profession of faith in Christ and in obedience to the Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus, buried in the likeness of Jesus' death, raised to walk in newness of life. without Steve saying a word, if somebody was like, we had a crowd here of 3,000 like them, and they're way back, because I've done that. I've baptized in front of a crowd of, you know, a whole bunch of people. And, I mean, I get loud, and hopefully they can hear me. And they can see, but they can't hear it, maybe Steve. But when Steve is standing in the water, what does that look like? And then we put him under and bring him back up. And what he's saying to everybody is, I believe and I want to identify with Jesus in the death, his death for me, his burial. He was buried and he buried all my sin. And he was raised for me, paid in full. And what he's saying to God, just so you know, Steve, what Steve is saying to God, I think we've talked about this a little bit. What Steve is saying to God is, God, I want to die to my old ways. I don't want to be the Lord of my life anymore. I want to be raised with you being the Lord of my life. Now, when somebody meets Jesus, just so you know, oh, let me finish my notes. Now, let's notice verse 41, what followed. 3,000 folks received this message preached about Jesus. The next thing, they got baptized. The next thing, they joined the church. The next thing, they chose to fellowship with the followers of Christ Jesus, and they were taught and discipled, so they also became followers of Christ. Then they began to share the good news of Jesus with their family and friends, and there was great peace and joy as the church grew. Read chapters 3, 4, and 5, and you'll see. Those things were happening. It says those words. I just kind of took them. When somebody meets Jesus, just like me, when I met Jesus, I was a drug dealer. But I was lost. I was on my way to hell. I didn't know God. I knew about God. You could know about Abraham Lincoln. That doesn't mean you've met him. You know about him. But I knew about Jesus because I'd gone to church all my life. You know, at various times. Boy Scouts and my folks as they went here and there. I knew about Jesus. But when I met Jesus, everything changed. Now, I was a drug dealer when I met Jesus and I was lost. Now I became a saved drug dealer. I was still just a drug dealer. I still had all these bad habits and bad choices. And God said, you know what we're going to do? He said, I came to where you were at because you couldn't come to where I was at. But what I'm going to do is, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk you one step at a time. And he said, but let's do it my way. He said, first thing you need to do is get baptized. I'm like, okay. So get baptized. Next thing, I told the pastor, I came up out of the water. I'm yelling, you know. Woohoo. Okay. And I said, I want to join this church. He said, according to the Bible, you just did. I said, God, you know. I said, what's next, you know. And I started learning. And matter of fact, my pastor's wife came up to me one day and handed me her wedding ring. And I said, why are you handing me your wedding ring? She said, because you spend more time with my husband, the pastor, than I do. She said, you talk to him in the morning, you wake him up, you call him late at night, you call him during the day, you come to before church, you interrupt him during church, you come to him after church. I said, I've got all these questions. I just want more of Jesus. And she goes, Harvey, I'm just kidding. She said, I've been in church since I was 3 days old. I've never known anything but church. And she said, I've never seen anyone like you just go bonkers and go so far, so fast, you know, and life changed so much. And I'm like, I just want Jesus. Why didn't anybody tell me I could meet Jesus before? Why did they just jump me through a bunch of religious hoops? It's not encyclopedia Jesus. It's real Jesus. So here's Steve. He meets Jesus. He goes, woohoo! You know, gets all excited. Things start changing. He comes back. You know, I talked to him about prayer. I said, it's real simple. I said, let me make Christianity real simple for you. Just like God made it for me. I said, Christianity is so simple. As a matter of fact, I call it Christianity because a lot of people have Christianity and I have a hard time finding Christ in it. Okay? But Christianity is this simple. Okay? You get saved by meeting Jesus. And then all you're going to do is you're going to have a relationship with God the Father. Okay? You're going to talk to Him. That's prayer. It's that simple. He's going to talk to you. That's you reading the Bible, His book. So you talk to Him. He talks to you. And then you got to be careful who you hang out with, because they'll get between you and God. Does that make sense? That's where church comes in. That's where the choices of people you hang out with. Birds of a feather. How's it go? Flock together. I think I heard that somewhere. It's real simple. Is it that simple, Steve? Yeah. And that doesn't mean that Steve all of a sudden became Mr. Holy Joe or Holy Steve and didn't do anything wrong. He's just a saved sinner that loves Jesus and wants to follow Jesus. He fell in love with the Word of God. I don't want to embarrass anybody here, but he's reading the Bible, and he comes to me in my office. I got to tell you. He says, I was reading, and this thing was jumping out at me, and I go show my mom. Mom, look what it says. And he kept coming and telling me that over and over. I got to show my brother. Look it. You know, that's what happens when you meet Jesus. It's not that you become good. We never become good. He's good. But what we do is we learn to take our hands off the steering wheel for our life and invite Him to come and be our daddy. Let Him drive. We get in the back seat. See, if you sit next to Him, be His co-pilot, you're going to be tempted to reach over and grab the steering wheel of your life. Don't sit in the front seat. Be the little boy, the little girl. Get in the back seat and let Daddy drive. What do you want to do today, Daddy? Where do you want to go? What do you want me to say? You see what I'm saying? It's just, I want to be with you, Jesus. I just want to be with you. That's the whole thing. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that you love us. And I want to thank you that you pursue us. No one ever goes looking for you, but you come looking for us. You're like the shepherd looking for the lost sheep. And you come and you knock on our hearts. You bring people into our lives to reveal Jesus, to example Jesus. And yet, if they're like Jesus, they're going to just admit, it's not me, it's Jesus in me. And you pursue us because you died to have a relationship with us. And you want us, and you have so much more for us. And I just thank you that you are such a beautiful person and that you allowed me to know you and become part of your life. And I'm asking that you would work in the hearts of each person here. And Lord, draw us closer and let each one know that you love us right now. There are people, there's somebody I'm dealing with right now outside of this building, and they don't know you. And they may not ever know you. And yet you will love them to their dying day. And you'll never give up on them. That doesn't mean they get to go to heaven. What it means is you'll never stop. Your love is not based on our performance. You love us 100% right now. And I'm amazed at your love, because I've never experienced love like that outside of you. Thank you, Jesus. I commit these words into your hands. Amen. And we're going to go out. Steve, if you want to go get ready, if there's a towel in there, if there's not, let us know. We'll get you one. Oh, there's one under the sink, so you can get ready. We're going to go outside when he. Go ahead. Yeah, you'll find it. First time I met Sue, I said, "Where's the bathroom?" We were out in Phoenix. I met Sue in Phoenix, Arizona. I said, "Where's the bathroom?" And there was two doors like this. And she said, "The first door on the left." Well, the first door looked like a closet. But I thought, okay, she said first door. I opened the door, and it was full of snake. A 14-foot Burmese python coiled up. I went, "Ah!" I said, "There's a snake." She said, "You didn't hurt it, did you?" I said, "Give me a hatchet. I'll make it a good snake." She goes, "No, I've raised that snake from this big." I said, "What in the earth for?" You know? Then I told her it was me or the snake. So after she waited a long time. Well, she waited a long time. You know? No, she. No, I'm playing, you know. So we're going. So in, when Steve comes out, because it's a little chilly out there for y'all. Now me, I got hot blood. It's not chilly. I go outside in this weather like this. But just a little bit, we'll walk outside and we're going to baptize Steve. Baptism is simply Steve saying, I want to follow the Lord. I believe in Jesus. I want to identify with Him. God, I want to follow You and die to my old ways. And that's what this is about. Today, as we were talking, or maybe anytime, as you're hearing about God, when God's dealing in your heart, if you have something, if you want to talk, call me, call my wife, come see us even before you leave today. We'll be glad to talk with you. Okay?